Welcome to a Comics of Doom special edition episode. This is our Doom of the Month, our Book of the Month episode, where we talk about one specific book. And in this case, we're going to be talking about a series in general, and that's going to be Scott Pilgrim. In honor of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World being released as a movie this month, we decided to doom the entire series of Scott Pilgrim. So that is volumes 1 through 6. If you have not read and you don't want to be spoiled, then this is not the episode for you. If you have read, feel free, leave your comments, give your thoughts at the end of the show. So on this episode, we're going to have myself, Mr. Justin Vactor, as well as Mr. Jen Abrams.
I'm getting a life.
And Mr. Chris McDavid.
I have nothing witty Scott Pilgrim related to say right now.
All right, so does anyone want to give... Yeah, let's ask Mr. Jen Abrams to give us just a general plot line of Scott Pilgrim. What's Scott Pilgrim all about, Mr. Jen Abrams?
It's about a Canadian living his life.
Yeah!
The end.
You gotta love Canadians. They're so nice and... They all have, like, maple syrup coming out of their pores. And they dress in maple leaves.
If that was true, then I'd be on a plane to Canada as we speak.
And they eat poutine.
They put gravy on their fries. That's all I know.
Poutine. Ugh.
All right, well, Scott Pilgrim is a learning experience for us all on the ways of the Canadian. But besides...
And as well, I was going to say, as well as that, it's also a coming-of-age story. That's basically the rundown of Scott Pilgrim. It's that time between... It's not exactly teenager, but you still are growing up. You're still learning who you are and what you are, you know, supposed to be doing in life. And add that all together and add girls to the mix and add working and not working and being poor and... all sorts of crazy stuff to the mix, and that's what you get with Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
And dealing with your problems by fighting people.
Yeah!
Video and skateboard stuff. Battles. And
now, my general overall thoughts on Scott Pilgrim before we get too deep into it. Scott Pilgrim is my favorite comic series of all time, and there's so much to love about the series. The number one thing for me is the humor. It made me laugh throughout all six volumes, and that's when it won me over. Actually, the first page of the first volume, I go back and I read it, and I just laugh out loud. And it's an experience reading all six volumes. So I really enjoyed my time with Scott Pilgrim, and like I said, the relationship stuff and the coming of age story, I enjoyed that as well. But for me, the number one thing about it is the humor and the video game references, which there are aplenty. Anyone who grew up with the Nintendo Entertainment System will be familiar with all of these Super Mario Brother references and River City Ransom, and there's a whole bunch of stuff, Clash in the Boas. It's actually a very specific time in video games, kind of that 1987 to 1991 Nintendo. There's some Zelda references and just general RPG stuff. So if you're a video game fan and if you grew up in that time period, I think... you'll love all of the references in Scott Pilgrim. What are your guys' just overall thoughts on the series, real quick? Mr. Jen Abrams?
I would say I would agree with you. I would say this is probably one of my favorites. When I think you first introduced me to Scott Pilgrim, I think it was all five was already out at that point.
Oh, man.
So I remember getting number one. I think it was actually last year at San Diego Comic-Con. Was when I had first read the first volume, and I picked up the first one and then read it and on the plane there, and then when I got there, I went straight to the Oni booth and bought like the second one and finished it like while I was at the con, and bought the third one and read it on the plane home, and then like by the end of the week, I had read all five of the books that were out at that point. And It's like you said, it's a very specific time, but that specific time is the time of me growing up. So it really connected with me. On every level, I think the comedy works and, you know, the references work. I think everything works for me, and it might not for everyone else, you know, especially not further down the road when people are like, what the heck is he referencing? What, this doesn't look like video games, you know. Mm-hmm. But for I think for people our age and people that have grown up around, I mean, even around, like even older than me, I could see people still enjoying it because it kind of captures the time, and it's great. I really love it, and I love the characters. I think the most important part about Scott Pilgrim as a whole is the characters. Even though the references are cool and the comedy is cool, I think the characters are something. It's kind of like Lost a lot of times, where the characters are, connecting to the characters is one of the most important parts of the books. So that's basically how I feel about it.
Yeah. And Mr. Chris McDavid, you're coming at it from the grandfather perspective. We know.
I suppose I was going to make fun for. Apparently, I'm the old man here because I'm older than you, and I still appreciate it.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm with Jen in that the characters are the best part of the book. I mean, you're right that there is a lot of humor and there is a lot of video game reference. I think it's all kind of surface level because the meat of the story is the characters and how they're growing up and just how their experience, even though it's crazy and it's got all these jokes and they beat up people and they turn into coins, but really that's not what the story is about. It's about Scott and growing up and knives and growing up and just people dealing with their own demons and getting past them. But it's a very good book. I think I started reading, I think it was after the third one came out. And it's just been a nice journey to see not only the characters in the book develop, but also Brian Lee O'Malley, who wrote and did all the art for it, or most of the art for it, develop as an artist and get better, which is really one of the big things about it, is just seeing that evolution in the whole in the books.
Yeah, and that's really evident when you get done finishing the sixth book, even if you finish the fifth book, and then you go back and you look at his art in the first book, it is kind of dramatic change and improvement. And it kind of surprised me when I went back and read it, because I was reading these as they were coming out, and you kind of, you know, there was so much time in between, you forget how far he's come. And yeah, it's really interesting to go back to that first volume. But not only I think his art, but his storytelling ability too. But if you look at the way that his panel layouts, just from the first book to the fifth or sixth book, it's just remarkable to see his growth and his improvement. And so we've had six books over 6 years. The first one came out August 18th, 2004, and then the last volume came out July 20th, 2010. So it's been, for the last 6 years, Scott Pilgrim's been on our pop culture minds, I guess. And it is really a mashup of pop culture. It's like a pop culture explosion. If you just think about music and video games and, you know, cartoons, anime, everything's just thrown all together, thrown into a pot, and then Scott Pilgrim comes out.
The beginning, the first five, I would say, the growth of Scott Pilgrim is very evident, and like you said, like you guys said, the growth of Brian Lee O'Malley as a writer and an artist, I think, really is evident. And I think some of my favorite parts were, like I said, were the growth of the characters and the kind of the things you learn about each one. And I would say one of my favorite books of all of them would probably be the fifth book, and that's specifically because of the exploration of Kim and Scott's relationship. And I don't know what you guys think about that part, but that was one of my favorite parts. And really, even in the books or movie, I think that I would have probably preferred to see a resolution between that, where maybe he actually got back together with her instead of Ramona.
See, I don't see that. I think if you look, I mean, the whole thing about their relationship is that they are friends, that they have a lot in common, but they're not necessarily supposed to be together. That's my opinion. I was happy with the way that things resolved in the sixth book. just I think the whole point of the story is about Scott and Ramona, and whether they work or not, I think the it's interesting to see how they evolve and how they come together. I think that's a more interesting relationship necessarily than Scott and Kim, even though they had this past, but it's in the past. That's the whole point of their relationship, is that sometimes you have to move on.
See, and the reason why I think I would have enjoyed it more if he was with Kim was because the whole point of all six books was Scott was growing up and realizing what he needed, and no other girl that he's portrayed with in any of the books is necessarily the best girl or person for him. So that's kind of where I sat on that, and that's why when I saw that in the fifth book, I was kind of like, man, I really wish that we could see more of this, because with Ramona, he may be kind of, you know, having his thing with her, but they have nothing in common, and they, I mean, it just doesn't make sense for them to be together. And then, you know, you've got the, and you know, he was looking for you know, something at the time which he really didn't need, which is why he was kind of with Knives. And then Envy, obviously he made the wrong decision. So I mean, to me, Kim was the only one that was actually normal and actually made sense, and for him to actually grow up seemed like he would realize that.
See, I didn't think Kim had enough development. Like I thought she got the short end of the stick in the book and in the movie, actually, to a lot.
She kind of does.
Yeah, a lot greater extent in the movie, but
well, that's my problem with the sixth book, actually.
Not enough fleshing out of the characters. That.
Yeah, I think the sixth book was kind of rushed. Mm. I don't know if you guys agree with me. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it. I think there were still the fun elements to it, and I enjoyed it. But I think there was the same problem with the sixth book that there was with both the movie and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that is that, like, you know, I kind of wanted more out of the characters, and it felt like everything that was explained was, like, very quickly explained. Mm-hmm. And things that, well, could have been more explored. Like, it seemed like if there wasn't going to be a movie, there would have been two more volumes.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's actually what the iFanboy guy said. And I think I agree with that. I think there was a lot of things that could have been fleshed out a lot better.
I think it's a credit to O'Malley that you've so identified with these characters. You want to see so much more of them. I think at a certain point, you just have to come to a resolution. I think it came to, it may have been a bit rushed, but I think you got everything done that needed to be done. I think there were a lot of good moments in the sixth book, and I particularly enjoyed the end of it, just how those last couple of pages, I was happy to see everything in those pages.
From the art point standpoint and the storytelling art standpoint, I would agree with you, but the actual story itself, I think there was a lot of things that were either not resolved,
like,
or
like, what did you want to see resolved?
Rush to resolve. I think there was the relationships between, like I said, him and his friends with Kim and the band and everything like that. And I think that's not, like I said, some of them might have been resolved, but they were very quickly resolved. Like, don't pay attention to this. You know what I mean? Kind of like. And I'm not saying I'm not saying the sixth book is bad at all. I enjoyed it. I'm just saying I think there was plenty of things that could have been. The way he fleshed out the other things in the first five books was a lot. It might not have been the most direct way, but it always felt like he took his time with it and showed you exactly what you needed to know. Whereas this one, it felt like, really, you know, we got to get through this crap really quick. And if you look at the page count for the book, it's a lot bigger too. So I mean, like I said, I think it could have been, if there wasn't a movie, split into six and seven, and then fleshed out even a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I'm okay with how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Justin?
I don't think it ended with like a bang for me. It wasn't like, oh yeah, this is the exact resolution that I wanted. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I guess I was kind of in between.
It like ended and that was it. Yeah. Right. That's kind of how I felt. And I was like, I wasn't sure what to think when I finished. And that was my feeling. Mm-hmm. It wasn't I didn't like it. It wasn't I hated it or anything like that. It was more like, I don't know what to think about this.
I was kind of satisfied that it was over. Like, I was like almost breathing a sigh of relief. Like, I was like, okay, that's done. Now we can go back and look at the entire series as a whole. Like, because I've been waiting and anticipating the sixth volume for, you know, ever since the second I completed the fifth volume. Right. So at the end of the sixth one, I was kind of breathing a sigh of relief. Like, okay, that's over. But it didn't. Yeah, I think for me, it was kind of the same reaction that Jen had. It was just like, okay, that ended.
Yeah, there are definitely some weird moments in it, especially like the fight with Gideon maybe goes on too long.
Yeah.
In the middle there. And maybe takes away some of the stuff. But then there are some really good moments. It's not, I'll agree with you guys, it's not my favorite volume in the series. But I was satisfied with it, and really the art on it is his best yet. Mm-hmm. And just the way that he uses certain things, like the blank pages in it to establish pacing at certain points. Yeah. And I was satisfied with it. I don't know if it was, I'd have to, I mean, I've read it 3 or 4 times at this point. So, but I think I could always stand to read it again. I think that's one of the best things about the series, is that you can read all of it in a couple of days if you really felt like it.
Yeah, each volume. It's very you can read in, I'd say, less than an hour. I think volume 4, I read in like 30 minutes. I can't remember. It was one of the volumes I was like, man, I finished it already? Because I just devoured it because I was in love with it. I'm trying to decide. Either 4 or 5 is my favorite volume. I kind of
4 is mine.
Yeah.
I think 5 is mine. Mm-hmm. And I think, like I said, I think it's because of the climax of finding out about everybody, everybody's history.
You know, it's interesting. In volume 6, I'm just kind of flipping through it here. He kisses both Knives and Kim, and then kind of the reaction that he has to each one, I don't think turns out the way that he wants to. And I guess that's O'Malley saying, you know, he really is meant to be with Ramona.
Yeah, so. I think that's the whole point of Volume 6 is,
which does connect, but I think the entire message of the book, and that's why I was kind of saying I think that he might have been better off with like Kim or somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't think necessarily with Knives, but I think with Kim, because the whole message of this story is that he's kind of growing up. He's kind of learning what it means to be an adult. And a lot of times that doesn't mean you run off with somebody that you think you're in love with or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she came out of nowhere. He doesn't really know anything about her. And then I guess he does learn stuff about her. But at the same time, he doesn't have as much in common with her as he would with Kim or something, you know.
But I think part of the series, part of why I think the books work a bit better than the movie does, is because the books take time to establish why Scott and Ramona work as a couple.
Yeah.
Which is why I think – I mean, book 5 – if I think has some issues with it. I think has specifically with the twins and how they're kind of just dropped in, and the fifth and sixth evil ex-boyfriends that Scott has to fight. They don't get a lot of background. They're just kind of thrown out there.
Yeah. When I was reading that, I was like, oh, there's, you know, 3 more exes left. And then I almost felt like it was a cheat that he did twins. It was like,
He probably, my opinion is that he had an idea for them, but other stuff in the book. I think book 5 is really, it's about Scott and Ramona's relationship, how it's become by that point an actual working relationship where they live together and they have to find ways to make it work. So the whole evil ex-boyfriend thing kind of has to take a back seat to it.
I wonder if, like the movie, I felt like, I don't want to get too much into the movie, but I'm with you, Chris. I think we all can agree that we enjoyed the books more than the movie, and that's simply because the books have a larger space to develop the characters, give us things, whereas the movie, I felt like it was really focused on the fights of the ex-boyfriends.
Yeah. And it was the movie is very good and is visually brilliant. Mm-hmm. And it does what it does well, but because of its length, it kind of has to rush through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and Edgar Wright is obviously going to choose the more visual things to use in the movie rather than the characterization, because the characterization isn't something that you can like necessarily always show visually. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
and it's that same thing that you always have when you do an adaptation of something that's a longer form into a shorter form. Yeah. They have to sacrifice certain things. We saw that to a large extent with Avatar: The Last Airbender, when that was turned into a movie, and they fit the entire first season into one movie, and they had to pick and choose what they were going to leave in and what they're going to take out. And I think most of us can agree to a large extent they failed with that movie just because they had to take so much out, and it almost felt like it wasn't true to the series and the actual
squished 12 hours into an hour and a half.
But that's kind of how I felt with Scott Pilgrim as well. Just each, I kind of wish the movie was more than one movie because of so much information that we saw in the movie.
Yeah, which is a fair point. But I think he does it okay.
I'm actually glad it wasn't, though, because then we would have
We wouldn't have seen the second movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think one of the interesting things is Jen wants to see Scott and Kim get together in the books. I was happy with Scott and Ramona getting together in the books, and I kind of wanted Scott.
I wasn't not happy. I just thought it was kind of an interesting point that he had all these different decisions and things that he was thinking about, and I thought like that relationship that they had was the most healthy one out of all.
And I kind of wanted Scott and Knives to get together in the movie.
Yeah.
By
the way, spoiler warning, the other ending from way back is actually that ending.
Mm.
Is it? That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's the DVD release.
That's what the movie...
That's before he finished the book.
Yeah,
that's what the ending was.
The whole movie, to me, felt like that's the ending they were going for. And then at the last second, it kind of did a switch. So I'm looking at the fourth book here, and... in case you're not aware of Scott Pilgrim, if you're listening to this, you've never heard Scott Pilgrim. Or, I'm sorry, if you've never read Scott Pilgrim and you're just coming into it with your knowledge of the movie, all the books are in like digest size, which is a little smaller format, and they're all in black and white.
Basically manga style.
Yeah, with the exception of the fourth book, which has a little opening segment in color, which it's interesting because you would think that you would prefer color. But when I saw the characters in color and seeing their hair colors and different things like that, I almost felt like it didn't work as well as it did in black and white.
See, I think I think that's a different kind of thing to say. I think not that it didn't work, but I think we were so like involved I can't think of the word, but basically invested to the black and white that once you see it in color, it kind of throws you off, and that it almost makes it a different book altogether.
Mm.
Well, I think it's just another manga thing, because I've read enough. Most of the manga is in black and white, but every once in a while, they'll put a couple of pages to start a chapter in color. Mm. So I think it's just kind of playing with that, and...
Yeah, and like I really enjoy looking at some of lot of the still art in color, but I don't know if I would want to see the whole book in color.
I was thinking to myself that O'Malley can definitely take Jeff Smith's route and put out a one volume edition of Scott Pilgrim, and then put out color editions and just keep re-releasing it for the next 20 years.
Maybe it's the colorist. I don't know who did the coloring on that particular part because we know he does.
Well, have
all
you
the
seen
art.
Some of the backgrounds and stuff like that? Computer backgrounds,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
And see,
I think the coloring.
Wasn't as thrown off there in those type of the computer backgrounds as I was in this. And like with what Chris was just saying, when I first saw the color editions of Bone, which was originally put out in black and white, I thought I wasn't going to like it, but then it actually works really well in colors.
That one works pretty well.
I'm wondering if it's just the colorist.
It's very possible. Mm.
It's possible. And it's like if somebody, it may have...
And maybe he colored it, and then like he had professional colorists for some of the backgrounds and stuff like that. And
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's just so used to working in black and white that he was just kind of getting his legs under him to do that part of that. So
sometimes, I mean, he draws for black and white, and sometimes that doesn't translate over to color unless you draw it to be colored.
Yeah, and that's a valid point as well. Now, I wanted to ask both of your guys' interpretation of the crazy things that happen in the book, because I've given the book to a number of different people. Actually, this is the book that I've given the most out to people and said, here, read this, and this is what comic books are about. And I've gotten a multitude of different responses to what each person thinks is actually happening when the hyper-reality stuff happens and, you know, people's heads get bigger and the typical anime or manga thing where their eyes get bigger or some crazy stuff happens. So I've heard one interpretation of, okay, this is just a hyper-realistic a hyper-reality world where this stuff is actually happening, or this is an exaggeration, or it's something that it's in Scott's mind that this stuff is happening, and it's not actually happening in reality. I was just curious to your guys' interpretation of that. How did you, when you were reading it, how did you interpret it? I'll ask Jen first.
I go ahead, Chris. Trust me. Go ahead.
I guess it doesn't really matter to me that much. Because I guess I understand the metaphor that O'Malley is going for, that he's fighting these ex-boyfriends and it's kind of getting past that part of the relationship is what's important. The fighting is just fun to look at, and it's just a metaphor. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know if it's actually happening or if it's just in his head, or if it's just because Canada is wacky like that and everybody's always exploding into coins. But it doesn't... I'm not worried about it. I'm more interested in seeing how the characters react to each other and the comedy and looking at how the art is put on the page and how those fight sequences are told is more interesting than kind of dissecting what's real and what's not. Mm-hmm. It's not that important to me. I mean, it's like, I guess it's kind of suspension of disbelief. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's there, but I guess it's up to the reader to interpret that, how important it is to them or not.
Yeah. Jen, did you have any thoughts?
I think, like Chris said, I think it isn't as important an aspect of the story, like whether or not it is real. Mm-hmm. But I think, in my personal opinion, that it would be kind of like a mixture of both. I think it would be like, you know, there could be a situation where he actually is fighting one of the exes, but it's probably very exaggerated. But in his mind, that's him battling with the fact that she dated somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a scene in the sixth book where Scott is talking with Kim and they're remembering his fight to win her as his girlfriend back in high school. And she's pointing out the reality of what happened, and it's completely different from what we saw earlier. So I suppose it's possible that...
Yeah, like I
none
said,
of it is actually happening the way that we're seeing, but...
Like I said, I think it's a mixture of both, and that a lot of it has to do with, like you said, Brian Lee O'Malley kind of pointing out the metaphor of, of him internally battling with the fact that she has dated all these people that he doesn't even know, and why she dated them, and what happened, and, you know, is it possible that she loved them more than she loves him?
Right.
All sorts of crazy stuff. But when you get to the sixth volume and you kind of see, like, the payoff, it kind of makes it hard to see that some of the stuff isn't real.
Right. I mean, some because of the stuff that happens in the sixth one.
A subspace highway through somebody's mind is kind of hard to say that's, I mean, him controlling her brain, whichever way, if you're talking about a movie or a book with a, you know, with a computer chip or whatever the case may be, it's like, it's kind of hard to explain away as the fights to me were not as hard to explain away, but that going through like someone's highway subspace and stuff like that, that's kind of, is crazy.
Yeah. And Brian Lee O'Malley, also I saw a thing where he said that Scott Pilgrim is the hero of the movie inside his own head. So that, another, like, everything that's happening is he thinks there's a movie going on, and that's like what he would want himself to be as the hero, the action hero of his own, in his own mind, whereas everyone else kind of interprets him differently. So I just find it interesting that there are all of these different interpretations, because like I said, I've given the book to different people, and different, like, I just had a person say that they thought everything was in particular from the point of view of Scott and no one else. And then someone else I gave it to was like, oh no, it's from, you know, it's from other people's points of view, how they're seeing Scott. So I enjoy that. And like with what Chris said, there are multiple levels to the book, and that's what I also enjoy about it, and think that's what's going to give it longevity, because it has, you can look at it and take it for surface value, and then you can also, if you want to go back and look at it again, you can dig deeper, and there's multiple interpretations you can have of it. There's multiple levels, there's multiple layers, there's all these things that you can go back to the book. And I've, before the sixth one came out, I went back and did a reread of all five volumes, and I'm sure before my life is over, I will read all six volumes again at some point. And so this is one of those series that I've gone, you know, it's probably, when I think about all the different comic series that I read, this is the only one that I think I've gone back to multiple time and time again and reread. So I guess that's something to say for Scott Pilgrim as well.
It's the lost of comic books.
Yeah. Let's see.
And that it has a... Were you disappointed by the end of Lost too, Jim?
No, actually, I really enjoyed it.
No, that was awesome. I'm just kidding, yeah.
Yeah. So, Scott Pilgrim, I think we all enjoy the book series, and...
I think we
enjoyed the movie for what it was, but it's still... I don't think it's at the same level as the book, just because the book had more time to expand the storyline.
Yeah. I think the book is definitely the truest vision of of the story. If you want to really see it, pick up the books.
Yeah.
And I think the nice thing about it is six volumes, you could probably get them for, what, less than $50 on Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Probably,
and they
less,
have,
less than that.
Yeah, if you're into digital formats, they have a Scott Pilgrim app on the iPhone and the iPad and all that, the...
Yep.
Different iOS formats, and you can buy all six volumes at 1 through 5. You can get it at a discounted price. Volume 6 is at the full retail price. But then also, you have access. I don't know if you guys have checked this out or not, but a couple years ago, I think it was between books 3 and 4, there was a free comic book day story that came out with Scott Pilgrim.
They've done a couple.
Yeah, and that is available on the digital format for free. So if you've read all six books and you haven't checked out the free comic book day story, it's on that digital platform. So that's kind of cool to see that. I really enjoyed that, this story. It's Free Fearless Griggs. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah. I'm sorry. You know what? That's the bonus to the, I'm looking at the free comic book day.
The bonus is pretty good too.
Yeah. The actual story is written and illustrated by Brian Lee O'Malley. And then there's a bonus written and illustrated by Andy Helms, which is called Free Fearless Griggs. But the free comic book day story is all about Wallace Ramona and Scott trying to go to a movie, but Scott can't decide which drink he wants to buy, so they're
it's a tough choice. You got to have the right bonuses and upgrades, yeah. And you can't overlook that kind of stuff.
Typical Scott Pilgrim fun. So check that out, definitely, if you have a chance. And as far as other forms of media, Scott Pilgrim, I'll just quickly say that there is a video game as well called Scott Pilgrim.
Punch-Out.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. There's the iPad, iPhone Punch-Out game, which is kind of, it takes the Michael Cera character from the movie, or Michael Cera version of Scott Pilgrim from the movie, and does a little classic Punch-Out, Mike Tyson Punch-Out type of game. Then there's the game that's on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and that's Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game, and it's kind of a retro, going back to those, like I said, the late 80s, early 90s NES style games, almost like kind of like a Double Dragon type.
Double Dragon, River City Ransom,
That
those all of those games.
And Chris, you got it on PlayStation 3, and I got it on Xbox 360. Did you like the game?
I do enjoy it. I haven't played much of it, a whole lot of it yet. I think I'm just up through the third level or so. But the graphics on it are old school, but they're very clean and they look really cool. And the game is fun as kind of a button masher. You just run around back and forth and fight people, and you can team up with up to four people and go through the whole game together. I haven't teamed up with anybody yet because Justin apparently decided that he didn't want to play with me on the PlayStation. Well, had to get it on Xbox.
I got it on Xbox just for the achievements alone, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, they decided to make it really old school, and there is no online multiplayer. It's just if somebody comes over to your house like the old days, that's the only way you can play with each other. So I was kind of disappointed by that, but it also has like a retro 8-bit soundtrack as well. And that's available on iTunes and Amazon. And it has music by Anamanaguchi. So if you're a fan of Anamanaguchi, then you'll like the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game, the soundtrack. So
Although the movie soundtrack is very good too.
Oh, yep. That's another thing. Yeah. So again, the pop culture, it's weird because all the things that were taken into Scott Pilgrim, like I said, music, video games, comics, animation. It's kind of, then Scott Pilgrim also spits it out back to it, us as well.
Great. It's very snake eating its own tail.
Yeah. So very, very enjoyable. And hopefully, there's also the animation. Did you guys see the Scott Pilgrim versus the animation? I don't know what it's called, but it came on Cartoon Network.
I think it's called that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Scott Pilgrim versus the animation. Yeah, it was pretty good. Just kind of a bit from the book. Almost wish that they would do. I could probably see the whole book series done like that.
Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen it, you can just Google Scott Pilgrim versus the Animation, and you'll find it. It's a Cartoon Network Adult Swim production. And
it's like, well, they also had that bit in the movie, like where they kind of animated the.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they did a couple of
flashback sequence and stuff. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
with Brian Lee O'Malley art. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Scott Pilgrim, hopefully.
Actually, that Scott Pilgrim versus the Animation was a pretty good example of taking it and putting it in color and making it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Michael Cera, I think, did the voice of Scott Pilgrim in that one.
I believe so, yeah.
So, much like Chris, I'd like to get more of that animation. I could see an animated series. Actually, that's a good question. Would you guys want to see something told after the sixth book? In animated form or in another comic, or would you like to see?
I was about to say, want to see Brian Lee O'Malley write the next book series called Young Neil.
Well, I think he needs to do it about Lawrence Pilgrim, Scott's younger brother, who shows up in like one panel of the book.
or his sister. That would be a really good movie, too.
That or he should do it about the Japanese twins and give them a decent amount of background. It should just be them running around Japan and creating robots and fighting stuff.
Yeah.
I think whatever he does, I'd really like to see him do multiple books again. I just want to see a series where I get to wait for some more.
Yeah, I think we're all going to have a high level of anticipation and expectation for whatever he does next.
Talk about your tough follow-ups.
Yeah. Because of my love of Scott Pilgrim, I went back and picked up his first work, Lost at Sea.
I asked you that.
Yeah. And it was...
What did you think of that? Because I've read that as well.
Yeah. It was okay, but I could definitely see kind of the...
Yeah. I mean, it's the work of a younger artist. Yeah. You can definitely tell that. Mm-hmm. He's not as comfortable as he gets, especially towards book 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm. Is it worth the pickup, though?
It's like $10. So...
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you're a big Brian Lee O'Malley fan, it's worth it to see kind of the seeds of what Scott Pilgrim would become. You kind of get a little bit of that, but it's definitely a different type of story, The Lost at Sea.
Now I have a question for you guys really quickly before we wrap up. We have a fellow co-host that thinks that when they read Scott Pilgrim that he's supposed to be a jerk. Do you guys – how do you see Scott
Pilgrim? He's supposed to be a jerk. At
Is
least
he really? Because I see him as an idiot. I think that's where I differ. I think I see him as an idiot. Like, he's just really stupid.
I mean, he is...
Like, not like unintelligent stupid.
Certainly
just like,
cluelessness.
Yeah.
A guy.
He's young. Oh, that's the point. Is he's young. He's inexperienced. He hasn't matured yet. And a lot of young people are jerks and are clueless. So...
I mean, I think he could come off as a jerk, but I think it's because he's an idiot, not because he's a jerk. Yeah. I don't think he's purposely trying to be mean. I think he's just stupid.
Yeah, I fall on the side of he doesn't understand what he's doing. Like other people around him, he treats them in a jerk-like fashion, and he just doesn't understand it. Like he's clueless to the world around him. I think he's in such a Scott-centered universe. Like he's only thinking about himself.
He's the hero of his own movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And all the side characters there are there to assist the hero.
Yeah,
and that's how he sees it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a very kind of self-centered view of the world. But you see, by the end of it, I think he grows and matures, and you see a definite change in him. Versus what you saw in the first book. So, yeah.
Definitely.
I can see kind of both sides of the story. A jerk or just kind of clueless idiot doesn't understand what's going on. I could
his
see
cluelessness is a manifestation of his jerkiness or vice versa.
Yeah. So that's our thoughts on Scott Pilgrim. We all have very high praise to give for pretty much anything associated with Scott Pilgrim. We all enjoy. We'd like to hear from you guys. Do you enjoy Scott Pilgrim? What did you think about anything in the Scott Pilgrim universe? You can always email us at comicsofdoom@gmail.com. You can always go over to Twitter and tweet us, twitter.com/comicsofdoom. Or also head over to geeksofdoom.com, where we are the official comics podcast. You can leave a comment on any of the posts, including this one here. There should be a post for this episode on geeksofdoom.com, so you can leave a comment on that. Also, don't forget to leave us a review in iTunes. Let us know, or let everyone else know, what you think about Comics of Doom. That'll help us out in the iTunes store. And
yes, tell them how much you love me.
Yes, everyone, if you're a Chris McDavid fan, please let us know.
Let the world know.
Everyone. Yeah, and also, please send us your certificate of insanity and tell us why you're certified insane. So next month is September, guys. And if you want to get a head start on next month's Book of the Month, much like we did here with Scott Pilgrim, we're going to be looking at All-Star Superman, Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely's masterpiece, or I should say masterful work that they did. So you can
No. It's a masterpiece, sir.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay. So
it's not the worst thing I've ever read.
We'll be sharing our thoughts on All-Star Superman next month. If you want to get a heads up or get ahead of the game, go over to InStockTrades.com, our sponsor for this and all of our episodes, or DCBService.com, and you can save money on both volumes, 1 and 2, of All-Star Superman. So get a jump on us, guys, and you can follow along with us as we doom All-Star Superman next month. So, thank you for listening, my friends. On behalf of Mr. Guy Jen and Henchman 21, my name is Vector, and we've just doomed Scott Pilgrim.